I'm in a little different role tonight, so I'm, you know, I just enjoy sitting there and listening to, whether it's Pastor Aaron, Pastor Ryan, you're going to hear from him tonight. It'll be great. I just felt a couple of things that I wanted to share tonight. That last song you did, Malachi, was powerful. And when you ask God, His Holy Spirit, to hover over you, when you really ask Him to, something really incredible will happen in your life. I've had some real encounters with the Holy Spirit in my life, and sometimes maybe I ought to teach a little bit more about it, but as we were singing that song tonight, I remembered some of those encounters that just actually captivated my life and convicted me at the same moment, but set me free at that same time. And when I came in here tonight, and as we begin to worship, I felt the Lord just drop in my heart that either somebody is here or maybe you're watching at home tonight. I just want to say hi to everyone that is watching. We're so glad you're with us. I felt in my heart that someone is here and you're struggling over forgiving an offense that has happened to you. It was legitimate. The person that offended you, when they did it, they meant it. And you have every reason in the world to hold on to that offense. However, the longer you hold on to that, the smaller your life will become. Your life, your hopes, your dreams, the love that you want to show to one another will shrivel up. And it won't have the impact, and you won't live the life that God has intended you to live. I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody. I feel just a draw in my heart tonight when I'm saying that to you. And it just goes along with the power of God's Holy Spirit can work in our lives in such a dynamic way that goes beyond anything that we can comprehend or understand. And I just want to ask you tonight to open up your life and let Him, the Holy Spirit, it's not an it, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible says they're the three in one. The Trinity, the triune God. The epistles say that the totality of the Godhead is found in Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in Him. When we ask that power of God's Holy Spirit to transform us and to have an impact on us, when we truly ask Him, even if you don't understand the level of it all. And listen, I've been around people all my life. I've been around people that talk in tongues 1 minute and talk evil to their spouse the next minute. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a transformation that happens in your life and in your heart that changes everything about you. Everything about you. Do I have 3 minutes, Pastor Ryan? Can I just share this? I remember when I had an encounter with God, with the power of His Holy Spirit, and how He touched my life. And at the moment, in that time of my life, I had some guys that I would hang around, and we would do things that I am not proud of at all. But when I had that encounter with the Holy Spirit, something changed in my life. All of a sudden, I didn't want to do that anymore. Nobody told me, well, yeah, some people did tell me you should. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. And you know what that meant to me? Zip. But when the Holy Spirit, He didn't condemn me. He didn't criticize me. He didn't judge me. He just said, come with me. I've got something much better for you. And I remember taking that step towards Him and thinking, I heard somebody say there's no high like the Most High, so I'm going to just go with it. And when I did, something really happened in my life. And I remember all my friends calling me. Hey, where are you? Where you been? You're doing that church thing, aren't you? They said, those people, they're brainwashing you. You're crazy. Yeah, I was crazy. What I was crazy about, that I didn't make that decision a whole lot sooner in my life. So I want to speak over your life tonight. Then Pastor Ryan's going to come up and share an incredible message with you. That if you're here, first of all, if you're here and you're struggling, don't bury it any longer. You sing songs like we sang tonight. Holy Spirit, hover over my life like you did the waters. And you say that, he hears you, and he begins to work on you. If that's you, amen. One of the brothers stood up. If that's you, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Stand up. If you just need God to help set you free from some offenses, don't be too dignified or too churchified to do that. When the Spirit of God moves in a moment like this, open up and yield your heart to him, because he will set you free. Anyone else? Because I'm going to pray. Don't be the person that says, well, God can touch me sitting down as well as he can standing up. No, he can't. When you are beckoned to come, come. Close your eyes. Everyone all over this house tonight, Spirit of the living God, this was your idea in this moment right now. Have your way in every single life. I pray, Lord, for those who have struggled. I just felt the Lord say, somebody is here. You can't forgive yourself. And he wants to transform your life right now in this moment. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, right now as I'm speaking, would invade the people that are standing here tonight. Invade their lives. Invade their space. Invade their thought life. Invade, Lord, where they go. The decisions that they're even contemplating. Change and rearrange plans that have already been made for this weekend. And give them the strength and the power to move in the direction that you are calling them to. I thank you for that tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight, for each and every one that is in this house, that if anyone is here, they're struggling with other things, addictions, sickness in their body, tonight, touch their lives, I pray. Those that are watching at home, I pray. Have your way in their lives, I pray tonight. Healing, restoration, wholeness, forgiveness over every life. Tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Lord. Now let the favor of the word of the living God fill our hearts and transform our lives tonight as we open up our lives to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said a big amen. Come on, how many of you are grateful for the power of God's Spirit? I just want to say one more thing, and then I want Pastor Ryan to come. Malachi, when your mom said about you going around the world, and I looked over at you, and I said, let's go, you are going to be going on an international missions trip with me. Just make up your mind. Get your mom and dad, your grandma and your grandpa, get them positioned, because I don't know when. I have no idea. I have no plans, but we're going. Are you in? Lift up your hand. Say, I'm in. All right, come on. Hey, get up on your feet. Welcome Pastor Ryan to the house of God tonight to preach the word. Come on, give him a big God bless you.
What a night, huh? I said, what a night, huh? Man, God can do something in a moment when we just open up our hearts to the big picture. How many of you just say, I want the big picture? I don't want to miss the big picture. I don't want to miss what God's doing in the big picture. I don't want to get caught up in the moment, get tripped up in the just in a second. I want to see what God is doing from 40,000 feet. And I'm thankful to be a part of the ministry that's asking the Lord, what would you have? I'm blessed to share tonight, blessed to have my family here tonight, and very thankful to have you here tonight in particular, all of you. You guys are all smiling tonight. I like that. It makes it easier up here, and I'm thankful. I want to start by saying we've accomplished so much in the last 6 months. If you don't know that, you should know that. How many of you have gone in the outback here and taken a look around? If you haven't seen that, you need to see that. And let me just preface it on saying this. We did that to bring souls to the kingdom. We didn't do it to sit around and have a picnic. However, I do like picnics. If you want to have one, I'll be more than happy to come. But we do that for the gospel's sake. We do that so when people come back there, they say, man, these people mean business about the gospel's sake. And so the outback is done. If you haven't seen my excitement on Facebook about St. Anthony's Gym, that project was finished today. It's curing. It's got some time to cure. Yeah, give the Lord a praise. And that gym, I've been around church my whole life. You know that. I've been around the ministry my whole life. There was more salvations that took place in that gym than I'd ever seen at any point in my life, week in and week out, with literally different faces. I would look out and there'd be different faces there praying the salvation prayer. And a lot of you were there, and so we can't wait to open that back up. So it's going to be soon. Somebody say soon, real soon. And let me say this as well. We've accomplished a lot. The food that we've given out in the last year, it's hard to put into context what God does in moments of difficulty. When we see difficulty, God sees opportunity. When we see opposition, God is saying to us, he's whispering to us, I've got an opportunity for you. So if you're scared of some opposition, if you're scared of some troubled waters, if you're scared of some resistance, some pushback, just remind yourself that God is working it for his purposes and for his plans and for his motive. I think that's an important word to know about God, that God has a motive here on earth. Do you know that he has a motive? He has a motive in your life to draw you to himself and use you for his kingdom's sake. He's got a motive. And he's got a good motive. There are people with bad motives. How many of you ever met somebody who got some bad motives? God's got a good motive for every person sitting in here. And man, that puts a smile on my face. And so all that food that we've given out, I'm so thankful and so blessed. Monday, my dad got talking about opposition, talking about some pushback, talking about some difficulty. My dad gets a call early Monday morning, and there's an extra truck available of food. And he calls me, and he says, what do you think about this? Now, my Monday after Sunday is my Monday is boom, 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 boom. I got my day planned out. You know what I'm talking about, your Mondays. And so he calls me, and the first thing I start thinking is, I got all this stuff planned. And he says, I think it's going to be there between 1 and 2:30. Can we work that out? I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's work it out. I'll send some texts out. I'll get on Facebook. This is just kind of giving the backdrop of it. You mind if I share about it? And he calls me back. I'm in a meeting, actually, with someone. Calls me back about 45 minutes later. I couldn't answer the phone. And he sends me a picture. And the truck is sitting there, and it's 10 in the morning. It went from 1, 2, to 10 in the morning. When God gives you a moment of opposition, he gives you a moment of opportunity. And we got to bless all kinds of people. There are lines of people. I mean, that truck was gone, I don't even know, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, gone. You're talking $70,000 of product gone. And you might say, oh, it's, you know, such and such wasted it. You might know some people that wasted it. Well, let me tell you something. There's some people whose bellies were empty that needed it. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for a team of people, and this is in my notes. I'm thankful for a team of people that just said, yep, we'll do it. Yeah, we got this. I'm standing out there in the parking lot, and there was some hand unloading and stuff. It was the real deal Holyfield, if you know what I mean. And we were out there, and all of a sudden, Tom Sacker pulls up. He goes, it's not Wednesday. It's Monday. What are you doing out here? I said, well, I begin to explain to him. He said, I knew the Holy Spirit had me drive by here. And he said, let me park and I'll get out and help. 2 minutes later, Sarah came pulling up. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, we had 20 people standing there to help hand this truckload of food out that we found out was coming 30, 40 minutes prior to it showing up in the parking lot. Don't tell me that's not God. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a great team that sees the big picture. You see the big picture. You see what God is doing in moments of opposition. But how many of you are with me and are in the position where you could say, like me, I've been in a position sometimes where what I'm seeing isn't what God is seeing. That something comes along, something presents itself, something walks up on me, and I start to see some difficulties, some pushback, some tough waters, and I begin to kind of backpedal a little bit. You ever been there before? Am I the only one? When all along what you're seeing is not what God's seeing. Tonight I want to talk to you just for a minute. Thank you so much. Give Debbie a hand. Oftentimes when we see a problem or we see opposition, God sees an opportunity. And I bet you if I went around this room tonight and I asked you if at the most difficult places in your life, the places that you were the most discouraged, the places that you were the just in a difficult headspace, your spirit was discouraged, and you just thought, man, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. I don't know, God, how you're ever going to fix this. You thought all hope was lost, and all of a sudden, you go down the road a little bit, and you say to yourself, man, God, you're pretty cool. You took care of all that, and I worried about that thing so much. I want to just two stories, two events in scriptures tonight that I want to read to you. And I love both stories. Very familiar passage of scripture in Matthew 4, 14, 13. And it says these words, and just bear with me as I read for a little bit. And then I've got just a couple things that the Lord has been impressing on my spirit that I want to share with you. And he says these words. He says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. Let me just stop here and say something to you. The reason that they were following Jesus is because he had already blown the cap off of their expectations. I hope you hear that tonight, because some of you have some expectations that are down here, and God wants to just blow the top off of it. You're just kind of mulling along. You're just kind of marching along. You're kind of going through the motions. I felt it in just a yank in my spirit. You're kind of just going through the motions. Yeah, I'm here tonight. Yeah, I showed up. Yeah, I'm doing what I know to do. But God wants to give you some events that just blow the top right off of your expectations. And that's where these people are. That's where these people are. They're following Jesus because Jesus starts to do things. And I think sometimes we read these scriptures, and I got to keep moving tonight, or I'm going to get in big trouble here with my notes. But I think sometimes we think, oh, these are nice stories. But I want you to know that God is doing miracles and signs and wonders. He's doing them today. I'm seeing them. I mean, I'm seeing them in marriages. Marriages where all hope was lost, where kids were just, they were all, so far off the rails, and God's just standing there and just pulling them back by the grace of God. He's just pulling them back, and that's what God is doing, Jesus is doing in this story. When Jesus landed, he sees this large crowd, and he has compassion on them and healed them. They're sick. Continues blowing the top off. Just when they think, oh, maybe he's done. No, he does just come into church. That must have been the best service I've. I can't tell you the amount of times that's the best service. I know I'll never be in another service like that. All for the next week. Man, that was such a great service. That's what he does. He has compassion on him again. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said this. Listen to these words. And I think we can draw some reference to this. They say these words to him after the signs and wonders and miracles, after he already did this, and they saw him with their own eyes. They were on a front row seat to the miracles. This is what they say to him. This is a remote place. As the evening approached, it's evening, it's getting dark. It's a remote place. The disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's evening." They said, "It's getting too late. Send the crowds away so they can go back to the villages and buy themselves food." They have a problem. God sees an opportunity. They are blinded by circumstance. God is blinded by the miracle that he wants to do. You ever been there? Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. Give them something to eat. Bring them here to me." And he says, and he directed the people, "Go sit down on the grass," taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. You know the story. "And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples." He gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the people. He gave to the people doing the work of the ministries. He gave to them, and they gave to the people. I'm going to move on. I'm going to read you one other passage, and then we're going to talk just a few minutes here. 2 Kings 6. Now, I had a little bit of a moment on Tuesday morning. I get into Bible study, and I had a moment of confirmation immediately. Phil Gardner begins to teach on this passage of Scripture. I'm like, okay, Lord, I got to use two. Fine. And the story goes this way, and you've heard this story preached about, teached about, taught about, talked about. But let me just, for the purposes of maybe someone who doesn't know it, it says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with the officers, he said," these are two different events. One that I'm reading now is an Old Testament scripture. The one that I just got done talking about is in the Gospel of Matthew. It's an account, the account of Matthew, two different portions in scripture, okay? One Old Testament, one New Testament, okay? It's a great event. "After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I'll set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing through that, because the Arameans are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah," listen to these words, "Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places." He knew what the opposition was planning before they planned it. God began to download in his heart and his spirit what the enemy had planned so he could be prepared. That's a word for someone. He goes on to say this. "This enraged the king. He summoned his officers and demanded them, 'Tell me now which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord, the king,' they said one of the officers. 'But Elijah the prophet, who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak from your bedroom.'" So the enemy's officers of this king knew that it was Elijah on the other camp, on the opposition. Are you with me tonight? So the enemy know this. He says, the king says, "Go find where he is." And the king ordered, "So I can send men and capture him." Then the report came back, "He's in Dotham." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force. They went by night, surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, the servant of Elisha, you're with me, with horses and chariots surrounding the city, he says these words to Elijah. Now, I want to draw a parallel here, otherwise I'm going to lose you. We were in the book of Matthew. Jesus does miracle after sign after wonder, okay? He's doing it. And they're on a front row seat to these events. And they say, "It's late. We're tired. There's not enough food. We don't know what to do. Send these people out of here." Now we're in 2 Kings. We're in the Old Testament. Okay. The prophet Elijah is in this scripture, and his servant is about to walk out into the camp, and he says, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" Same type of statement, one in 2 Kings, one in Matthew. Don't be afraid, the prophet answers. Those who are with us are more than those that are against us. And then he prays these words. Elijah prays this. And this is what I want to drop into your spirit tonight. Because the disciples were blind. They were blind as a bat. And I'm going to tell you tonight, let me give you a little more reference to the current day. This boy right here has moments where I'm blind as a bat. What's in front of me isn't what I'm seeing. What I'm facing isn't what I'm seeing. What I'm looking at isn't what I'm seeing. I'm blind as a bat. And Elijah gets out here and he prays these words. He prays the words that we should pray. And it almost had a little reflection on what my dad was saying before I got up here. He says, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." See, unforgiveness is just blindness. Dad's up here. There's forgiveness. You're just blind. You're just blind that it's not the person, that it's the enemy, that it's Satan that wants to paralyze you in place. He don't want you seeing with spiritual eye. He wants you mad. He wants you angry. He wants you bitter over nonsense and stupidity. He wants you blind. The disciples are blind. The people that he sent to establish the New Testament church are blind. The great prophet's servant who saw signs and wonders and miracles. Don't kid yourself. Elijah did the impossible through God. And the servant had a front row seat and saw it all along. Blind. And this boy, once in a while, blind. And now don't leave me alone. You blind once in a while? Few of you in here. Maybe what's beating us from time to time isn't what we're facing, but what we're seeing. Father, release a word in this place. Release power in this place. Release anointing in this place. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I had met with this individual that used to work for me, and we've kept a great friendship over the years, and I met with him, and we did a godly thing. We had pizza and chicken wings. Can I get an amen? And he began to say to me, he said, "I saw the picture of the gym floor," and he said, "I just want you to know, I'm so proud of your church." It has nothing to do with this church. He says, "I'm so proud of the church because I know," he stopped in on Tuesday night. He said, "I know the kids that are going to come in there and the people that are going to love on them and the people that are going to, they're going to care for them." What's that got to do with what you're talking about? Just a parallel. One perspective of a person who is a 25-year Catholic. One perspective. Happy. Thrilled. Excited. Man, that's awesome. How many of you know there's always another perspective? There's always another side. There's always another perceived idea about the same event. You got some people, you know, you post a picture like that, you can get beat up a little bit. You got to be a little careful with that. Aaron got a little bit of that the other day with that gym picture. But you got two people seeing the same thing. They're seeing two totally different things. We begin to walk that building over at St. Anthony. My dad shared about here. He shared about next door on Sunday, the roof and all this stuff. When we went over to St. Anthony's and you walked through that thing, if you didn't walk through that building with spiritual eyes, you weren't buying it. And there was people that walked through there and they jumped and clicked their shoes together and said, "I can't wait to get in there and get to work." And then there was people on the total flip side. They walked through the same building in the same neighborhood on the same night at the same time. And they said, "Man, if you buy that building, it'll be the worst decision you ever made in your life. That place is a dump." Same building, two different perceptions of that building. Two totally different perspectives. Is what you see not defeating you, but your perspective on how you see it defeating you. I want you to just pause just a minute and think in your life at the thing that's kind of vexing you and it's pushing on you and it's crunching on you just a little bit and you're a little frustrated with it. Maybe it's not what you're facing that is the difficulty. Maybe it's how you're seeing it. Our perspective matters. The way we see things matters. These two different portions of Scripture, I pray that you'll go and read them later. But in both Scriptures, they're teaching that our perspective is more important than our circumstance. Elijah could have prayed and the battle been diverted. Jesus could have spoke and the need been met. But instead, they begin to teach about perspective. And if you just read the story, you just get in there, oh, let me just read this event. Let's just jump right over it. All you'll see is a story. But what God has paused us to look at, the prophet Elijah has sent this message. That Jesus himself has sent this message. It's not about your circumstance. It's what you see in your circumstance. And Elijah says, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. See what? See what? See heaven's perspective. Oh, I love that. God, don't ever let me see from my point of view. Don't let me see from a naysayer's point of view. Don't let me see from my hurt heart point of view. Don't let me see from my tired point of view. Let me see from heaven's point of view. Taking the five loaves, two fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. Looking beyond the circumstance, he looks to heaven, Jesus himself. God, I love that. Looking beyond the circumstances. You see, you saw it in the season of COVID. You saw some people that were totally frantic, totally running, totally on tilt. And then you saw other people, you know, I don't know. I remember Pastor Ron called me. He was here on Sunday. He called me when the whole thing started. He said, you know, if you know Pastor Ron, and you saw him a little bit on Sunday, he just kind of just has his way of just settling the tone. Just settles the tone in the room. And he said, God's up to something. God's going to do something. And what you see is the same circumstances and two perceptions of that circumstance. Which leads me to my first point tonight, and I'll be very brief. Lies create a lens which you gain false perspective from. Let me see one of them, honey. Let me see one of them. Come on up here. Bring it on up here. Bring me one of the markers. Yeah, bring me both. Yeah, thank you. You got one of the markers. Lies. They give you a perspective. Just come right over here. She's the Holy Spirit for me tonight. Every night. Lies create a lens which we gain false perspective through. I really like that. In Matthew 14, it says this, as evening approached, and the disciples, They begin to speak this perception. This is a remote place. Yeah. Yeah. Just set that down, honey. I won't kick it. This is a remote place. All of a sudden the lie lens starts to be established. The lie lens. How many of you have ever had a lie lens? This is a remote place. Here's another one. Here's one that they use. It's getting too late. Right on there. Another one. It doesn't have to be perfect, honey. There's a little message there. We don't need any food, or we don't have any food. Lies that they told themselves and those who were around them, I hope you're hearing this, those that were around them, they told them, that creates a lens. So what they're facing is not what they're seeing. I can't be happily married. I can't be. I just can't be. I can't be happily married. When we've seen God do the impossible in marriages. But I can't see it. Because the lie is getting, I can't, God can't fix it. God can't handle it. God can't, I'll always be broke. It's just, you know, I see these people in church and I see that they're so blessed and I want to believe it and I want to receive it, but they don't understand that the type of family I come from just doesn't happen. Lens. The lies that Satan begins to tell God's people that creates a lens so what they're facing isn't actually what they see. The enemy's camp knew the miracles that Elijah had performed. The disciples had just got done seeing the blind see, the sick healed. And what happened? The servant and the disciples believe Satan's lies, and it creates this lens. So good. I almost just wrote on myself. And when they begin to believe it, they begin to tell, this is what we do. Do you know such and such? Do you know what Pastor Marty said to me? Do you know what Elder Chuck did at Bible study? I can't believe it. Lens. The lens of the lie that Satan... You know what he can do, but Satan put a lens on you. If the servant of one of the greatest prophets in the scriptures, one of the greatest, Elijah is one of the great, you should read about him, one of the greatest. If he can, if his servant, the guy who's chilling with him day in and day out, can believe a lie, in the disciples that will establish the New Testament church can believe a lie, can you? No, I couldn't. You can believe a lie. What I'm trying to explain to you here, it's easy to believe God's best in moments, but when we leave this place, or places where the Holy Spirit is moving in an abundance, we must reject Satan's lies in good circumstances or in bad. Number one, have you told yourself a lie or received a lie from Satan that has created, you took the lens off, created a lens. Number two, now, if you don't follow this with your mind, you're going to lose me. But I really believe this is going to help somebody. Number two, has the enemy spoke a lie? You believed it. And now it's keeping you from God's best opportunity. So he lies to us, creates the perspective. It's not really reality. She's facing you, but she's seeing the lie. And then all of a sudden, well, catch this now. Catch this because you'll miss it. It creates the perspective. Then he uses this It goes from a lie to a perspective. Then he uses this to keep you from God's best for your life. Creates a perspective. And then we miss God's opportunity because of the lens of fear, bitterness, resentment, addiction. I can't ever get over this addiction. Write it on there. You're creating a perspective. When you know better, we know better. We know what God can do. I could go on and on about it, but I want to bring it around here, and I'm almost out of time. So what do we do when we've received this lens? How many of you got a little lens on? Yep. The rest of you, you got a lens of lying on you. Two ways that came to me from these scriptures that I believe can counteract it. Number one, you with me? We stop our human reactions or emotional reactions and listen to trusted and proven mentors instead of Satan's lie. Now, this takes some discipline. And we hear this all the time, don't we? I'm just giving you just a couple reminders, that's all. We hear this all the time, but you know what it is to listen to a mentor? Humble. Set the pride down. Is your success more important to you than your pride is? A lot of men, it's not. They'd rather be prideful and walk around. And everybody knows the difference. Am I right? You're looking at it. The ladies are like, yeah, absolutely. We see it. But the unfortunate part is, the sad part is, many would rather be prideful than be healed. So we listen to the voices of our trusted mentors. Elijah doesn't speak about the circumstance. He speaks about the perspective. He doesn't even talk about the army that's up on the enemy. He doesn't even address it. Doesn't even get into it. Open his eyes. Jesus doesn't get into, oh boy, man, this is a little difficult here. Doesn't even address that. Goes right to, I'm looking up. That's what the scripture says. Jesus, he turns to heaven. Jesus himself turns to heaven. I love this. Who in your life do you, let's say, you're viewing this totally wrong? And I think if we really were honest, I bet you there's more people in here than you think that really, when it really comes down to it and they need to lock it up, they don't listen. They just react. My first thought tonight, if you don't have a trusted voice, if you don't have an Elijah in your life, dude, you need to get one. You need to have one. Number two, we allow Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. You know what you got to do. We allow Jesus through the Holy Spirit and his word and prayer to take us through situations that our flesh will resist, but he's using to grow our faith. Remember what Jesus does. He says, come to me. Bring it here to me. Let me handle it. And I think we need to do the same exact thing. We need to take our issues before the cross, before the Holy Spirit, and before the Word of God, and begin to recite, instead of reciting the circumstance, begin to recite God's Word for our lives. Listen to this. Therefore, I'll tell you, whatever things you ask and pray, believe you have received it, and it'll be yours. Now to him who is able to do... We're fixing the perspective. Keep fixing the perspective, Holy Spirit. He's able to do more abundantly above what we can ask or think. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. But he said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard your heart. And I could go on and on, but I don't have the time. And this is what happens. He begins to paint a perspective in our lives. Now, don't leave me. I'm be done here in 1 minute. He begins to paint over the lie that the enemy had. Okay? Here's the problem, though. Okay? Got any control freaks in here? Yep, quite a few. Yep, got a few. We're just a little moment of honesty here. Here's the deal, though. You still got this on. And guess what? You're blind as a bat. You can't see a thing. You got no perspective other than a God perspective. But here's the thing. Here's the reassurance. We walk by and not by. So I'm blind either way. You're blind either way. You can pick Satan's lie. And I've seen people march right out that back door. I can't believe it. And I just, because they believe the lie over believing what God's word says about them. So my question for you tonight as I close, how many of you need help with this? Stand up. Yep. I pray for every person in here. I sensed in my heart tonight when I walked in here that there's been people blind. You've been blind for not years. You've been blind for decades. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name that this place would be an assistant to a new perception, to a new point of view, to a new outlook. We rebuke Satan's lies off this place. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we declare the goodness of God in this house. I even pray in this place that the lies that have been stamped into spirits, that the enemy has just wore people down and just pushed and pressed on people. I pray that there would be a chain-breaking anointing in this place, that every time someone walked in, that there'd be a chain-breaking, that there'd be a mountain-moving anointing in this place, Father, and we'll give you the praise for it. We'll take no flag. We don't even want it. We don't want any goofy perceptions. We don't want any goofy perspectives. We don't want any goofy, weird, fleshly nonsense in this place. We want the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the fire of God in this place. And we say thank you tonight. If your heart's prayer is thank you, just lift your hand to the Lord. Just wave to Him. Father, we say thank you tonight. We say thank you tonight. We say, if you receive it, just say, thank you, Lord. I receive it in Jesus. I receive it by the blood that you shed for me. I receive it by the cross tonight in Jesus' name. A clean slate, a new perspective, and a new perception in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to follow after me. I want you to go just like this. You got a new perception. You got a new perspective. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, give Him a praise. There's somebody at home tonight. You've received His power. You've received His grace. You've received His goodness. We love you tonight. Those that are, you're here, you guys are good. You guys are good. We love you. God bless you, those at home. Have a great night.